brought to you by CGTN Europe.
I'm Stephen Cole. Welcome to The Agenda. International students make up a significant proportion of the intake at many of the world's top universities, and an even more significant amount of their income. This week on the podcast, we look at international university students and how they'll have to adapt to a post-COVID-19 world. First on the podcast, we speak to Vivian Stern, the Director of Universities UK International, the umbrella group that represents all UK universities. What percentage of university students studying in the UK are from non-EU countries?
So overall, it's about 14% of the total student population, but it's about two-thirds of those students who are outside, you know, who are not UK domiciled. So two-thirds of our international students come from outside the EU.
And how does that compare to other European establishments?
Well, I think the UK university system is very international. I mean, we have a larger international student population than most of our European counterparts, and it's quite important to the kind of culture and atmosphere on campuses. I mean, overall, 20% of students are international. We pride ourselves on having universities that are places where people from all over the world come to study together, to work together and share their perspectives.
20% of students are from outside the UK. Any one country in particular?
Well, China is the most important source country of international students. Of all international students on UK university campuses, Chinese students account for about 35%. It's quite a large proportion of international students. And of course, we do draw students from all over the world. Quite often when I talk to universities, they'll tell me that they have 150 nationalities on campus. But China is very important.
International students pay significantly higher fees than EU or UK students, don't they? If they decide not to come for whatever reason to the UK, how damaging or how dangerous could that be for the economies of some British universities?
Well, I mean, the first thing to say is that student fees for UK students, and just for the moment for EU students, are subsidised by the British government. So universities get a similar level of investment. It's just shared between students and the state. So international students are important to UK universities. And if we found that for some reason no international students could come to the UK, that would be a big problem for some of our universities. I mean, right now, I don't think we're in that scenario. Obviously, this crisis is going to evolve, but when you look at the evidence we've got about what students who are thinking about coming and studying in the UK are planning to do, it seems to us that demand is holding up. Yes, there are lots of worries. People want to know what the experience will be like. They want to know that they're still going to get a high quality education, even if some of it has to be delivered partly online. And of course, they're worried about whether they'll be safe. And that's the sort of thing that we have to talk to international students who are still thinking about UK study to make sure that they understand what arrangements are in place.
A recent report by the Institute of Fiscal Studies is suggesting up to 13 UK universities are on the brink of collapse, economic collapse, if their enrolments from overseas drop. So how can UK universities go on to the offensive, if you like, to persuade the students still to come?
In the UK, our regulatory system, which is run by a thing called the Office for Students, which exists to protect student interests, requires that every university has a thing called a student protection plan that deals with how students' interests would be safeguarded in the event of extreme events like a financial failure. The other thing is that our government has stepped in anticipating that we could have problems this year. As I say, I don't think we'll see a complete, I think international students will still come to the UK, possibly in smaller numbers, but I don't think we'll see the worst case scenario described in that report played out. But just in case, the UK government has come forward with a number of measures to help stabilise institutions that might be financially vulnerable. And that includes a very significant commitment to step in and support research activity. And also in those circumstances where a university just needs to do something a bit more radical, There is financial support available to support what we're calling institutional transformation, but in some cases might end up meaning merger of institutions. And that we've seen before, it's not necessarily a disaster. And as I say, the system that we've got protects the interests of students by making sure that universities have to plan for how they'll protect students in those circumstances.
Sir Anthony Seldon, who I'm sure you know, has described this time as the biggest crisis ever for UK universities. You've talked very positively so far, but would you agree it's a massive crisis?
I'm not trying to suggest that this is a wonderful set of circumstances. I know that students going this autumn will be, you know, worried about whether they're missing out. I mean, you would normally expect when you come to a university to have lots of opportunities to socialise, to make new friends, to get out and about, to go to clubs, to eat in restaurants. And of course, that will be a bit limited. I guess if you are worried about that, there are two things that I think you should consider. First of all, most universities are trying to work out how they can provide opportunities for social interaction. Even if it's a bit limited, it's a bit different from the normal way that they would do things. So find out what universities are trying to do in that space. And the other thing is this, we hope, won't last forever. We're already in the UK in a period where we've got a lot more freedom about the sort of social contact that we have. And this pandemic is going to evolve, and it may be that we go through other periods where, you know, things are a little bit more tightly controlled. But it is possible to get out and about, to enjoy, you know, living in the UK, to make friends, not just online, but also to have some sorts of social gatherings, although we're kind of being a bit careful about how those are organised. So it's not the end of the world.
So that's one industry expert's opinion. But what about those students planning on studying abroad this year? To find out more, I speak to 19-year-old Wang Yutong from Xi'an in China's Shaanxi province. She has already spent a year in the UK and is due to start her first year at Sheffield University this autumn. Wang Yutong, why did you decide to study here in the UK? What's the attraction?
Come from Xi'an, China, and it is a city with a long and old history. And growing up in such a city, it is difficult not to be influenced by China's rich culture, right? And UK is also a country with a profound cultural heritage. And I'm longing for the cultural collision that this country may bring to me. And of course, the ancient European architecture in Britain, such as the cathedrals, which you can see them everywhere, is also one of the reasons that attracted me to study in this country.
So it's the culture of the UK. But do you think in the current crisis, it's value for money?
I think, for an ordinary family like me, the cost of study in the UK is indeed a relatively big expense. But compared to the complete hardware facilities and plentiful educational resources of universities in UK, these investments are still worthwhile, I think. And in such crisis, I think if we can still have online classes, I think it's still worthwhile for me to study here. And yeah.
You were in the UK last year, weren't you? Were you concerned when COVID happened that you wouldn't be able to come back and finish your studies?
Honestly, I didn't think so much at that moment. I returned to China in mid-May, and during that time, the COVID-19 pandemic situation in the UK had already under control, and the friends around me who are still in the UK are not as flustered as when the pandemic first started. And when I decided to return to China, I thought that the pandemic would pass when school started in September and I could still return to university in the UK as usual. But I didn't expect the pandemic to increase again.
Well, what about your family? They must be very worried about you coming all the way to the UK.
If I know that the COVID-19 is longer than what we thought, maybe my family still expect me to return to home, because I think during this crisis, they prefer me to stay with the family and spend a difficult time with them.
The possibility of virtual classes, socially distanced virtual classes even, that must be a great disappointment to you.
face-to-face communication in the learning process is very important. And even if the school has complete network teaching facilities, it cannot make up for the lack of face-to-face teaching. And staying at home for a long time will also make us to lose the motivation to learn to some extent. And we can't use many of the school's facilities, such as libraries and well-equipped laboratories. And this is a loss for international students who have traveled so far to the UK to study.
Tell us a little more about the logistics, about how you plan to come back to the UK, flights and everything else. I mean, it must be quite difficult, quite complex.
At the end of July, we received an email from the university saying that the University of Manchester and seven other universities had launched a questionnaire on internet on interest in charter flights. This charter flight project is a collaboration between these seven universities and Hainan Airlines. But however, the current charter flight project is still at the stage of willingness investigation, I think. And as a student, I didn't receive other further information. And I think the implementation of this project is definitely not an easy task for school. Yeah.
With me now is the Senior Pro Vice Chancellor for Education at Cambridge University, Professor Graham Virgo. Professor, what has Cambridge done to try and attract more students from overseas, especially China, given the current pandemic?
Well, what we have been doing for a number of months is to make it clear that we want to be open for education business as usual, as much as we possibly can. We realise that there are students who will have concerns about travelling to another country and coming to a university such as Cambridge. And so one thing we've particularly focused on is what we've called a public health campaign called Stay Safe Cambridge Uni, which really emphasises all the different things that we are putting in place to make Cambridge as safe as we possibly can.
Can you tell us a little more about those stay safe measures?
Yes, there are a variety of things. I mean, one thing to emphasise is that Cambridge University is a collegiate university, so that our students join one of the 31 colleges in Cambridge. And for many students, the college is their home and provides accommodation and support and education for them. And so the university and the colleges have been working very closely together, looking at all our spaces, accommodation and food spaces and teaching spaces to make them as safe as possible. We are expecting face coverings to be worn inside, and we've developed a testing system as well. And it's also worth emphasising that we were one of the first universities in the United Kingdom to say that our lectures would be going online. So lectures will be recorded, but we want there to be a significant amount of face-to-face teaching in small groups, because that's a really important part of education at Cambridge. And we're ensuring that that small group teaching is conducted in a very safe way.
What does Cambridge and other universities in Britain do then that is so different from universities in the rest of Europe? What singles the UK out?
Well, certainly the UK has an incredibly strong reputation in the quality of its education provision. Also, a number of other European countries, their universities have very large numbers of students. Some of our universities in the UK are very big, but a significant number, like Cambridge, admits about 19,000 students. It has 19,000 students. So we're not an incredibly big university. And that means as well that the city of Cambridge, with its colleges and with its faculties and departments, is really well suited to look after the interests of those individual students.
The UK is second only to, I think, the US in attracting overseas students. As there is increasing tension between the US and China and concerns about the pandemic, certainly in America, is this an opportunity for you to attract more Chinese students?
Frankly, yes, it is. And we know we are doing that. We have a very significant number of Chinese students already at Cambridge, and actually the highest number who have been admitted to Cambridge for our new academic year. And we certainly want to encourage more international students, and particularly students from China, to come to the UK and particularly come to Cambridge University to benefit from the education we can offer. We have long-standing relationships with institutions in China, and we really want to continue developing those.
One of those is the Nanjing Centre for Technology, isn't it? And innovation.
It is.
Are you planning more opportunities for Chinese students to get a Cambridge education without perhaps the need to leave China?
Actually, we are not. We regard it as a very significant feature of a Cambridge education that our degree programmes are resident in Cambridge. It is Cambridge where we have the academic staff, and we have the resources, incredible libraries, incredible scientific laboratories for our students to learn, to be taught, and to conduct research. So we are not changing that residential model. What we are doing, however, is rapidly expanding our online education. We're not offering online degree programs, but we are offering many more education programs, which will certainly be of benefit to students in China who wish to remain in China.
That brings us to the end of another edition of The Agenda. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. You can also find us on CGTN Europe Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
The most interesting questions.
Are there other living beings beyond Earth?
Will man or machine be in charge?
Great question.
Always have more than one answer.
Well, hold on, let me just draw up a list.
And always come from more than one person.
That's where the credibility lies.
The concept of having a machinery which is alive and evolving didn't wait for us.
The end of inequality of incomes and wealth around the world, can you imagine how difficult that is at the moment to achieve?
Every episode, Stephen Cole, Murray Beveridge, and some of the brightest minds out there shed light on the answers to some of the most intriguing questions.
There are two ways of looking at this.
Machines can't really discriminate between civilian and military targets.
The Answers Project.
Maybe we need to just look at this in a bit more detail.
Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence.
The Answers Project, a new podcast from CGTN Europe.